Today I have a new Bible with me. It's a super giant print Bible. All right, it's telling me I'm getting older and I needed to get a bigger print in my Bible. But if you take your Bibles and open them up to where we had our scripture reading, and here in Philippians chapter 3, we see that Paul is pouring his heart out to us. And he's telling us that when he determined that he was going to become a follower of Jesus Christ, when he made that choice, when he made that decision, he was all in. He didn't hold anything back. And he gave up on his past. He gave up on everything of who he was and what he had accomplished in life. And he talks about here in Philippians chapter 3, things that were very important to Jewish people. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Pharisee. That meant that he was well-educated. It meant that he was wealthy. It meant that he had power and position. And he said, I gave it all up. I turned my back on all of it. And I want to go to verse 10. I'm in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 10 with me. He gave up on all those things that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now I'm going to stop right there. The fellowship of his sufferings. And as I'm reading this and I'm praying over this, I said, oh, Paul, why in the world are you talking about the fellowship of Christ's sufferings? I thought, man, I didn't sign up for suffering. When I gave my heart to Christ, I thought about heaven. I thought about walking on streets of gold in a world where there'd be no more war, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sad goodbyes. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. And here he talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. How many of you, when you've been studying the Bible, you study and you studied our doctrines, and you take a look at our doctrines and you find about the fellowship of sufferings? Yeah, that seems to be missing as we read and study God's word. We don't like talking about suffering. We don't like to suffer. But yet, Paul is talking about the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Now, I can understand my sufferings. You know, there are things that I think, I say, I do. Hey, there's consequences to many of the things that I do that bring me suffering. Okay? Yeah. There are things that bring me suffering. But when Christ suffered, he didn't do anything wrong. Okay? When Christ suffered, it wasn't because he sinned. It wasn't because he thought something wrong or he said something wrong or he did something wrong. Yeah. And I can understand why I suffer, but I have a hard time when I look at the sufferings of Christ. He didn't deserve to suffer. I'm the one who deserves to suffer. And yet, Christ took the suffering that I deserved upon himself. Yeah, Christ didn't suffer. Hey, you know, when I think about the sufferings of Christ, here was a man who did no wrong, and yet he suffered. Yeah. Did you ever not do anything wrong and suffered because of it? You know what Christ went through, okay? Yeah, here Christ, we see a picture of this in the story in the Old Testament of Joseph. Yeah, we look at Joseph's life, and we say, hey, what did he do that was wrong? You know, his brothers will throw him in a pit. And it gets worse. You know, here he is. He's getting into a house. He's learning the Egyptian language. Everything is going well and prospering. And all of a sudden, he's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. Yeah, and he didn't deserve to suffer. He didn't deserve those experiences. And he's probably wondering, why in the world am I suffering? Why am I going through all these things? What did I do that was wrong? Okay? And then he is taken to the palace. And he begins to understand. And we begin to understand that God had a reason for his suffering. God was planning, God was preparing for Joseph to become a ruler. And he had to learn through the things he suffered. And there are times when we suffer and we don't see the big picture, like Joseph didn't see the big picture. And God is preparing us for greater things. And today, as I think about the communion service and the sufferings of Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings, yeah, God uses suffering to prepare us for greater things. Yeah, you're going through a hard time. Hey, it's not what is happening to you that is most important. Today, as we celebrate the communion service, it's about what is happening in you that is the most important. God is at work in you, and allow him to continue to do his good work. As I think about people like Job, yeah, Job didn't do any wrong. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. Yeah. He lost his health. He lost everything that was near and dear to him. And what did he do that was wrong? Yeah, he didn't do anything that was wrong. And yet he suffered. And God had a great plan and purpose for the life of Job. God was working in Job and through Job. And Job is a testimony to us that, hey, people suffer not because of wrong things that they do, but Job did everything right. In fact, the New International Version says he was a perfect man. Some versions say he was blameless. Yeah. Yeah. And this is how we unite in the sufferings of Christ, the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Yeah, well, when we do what is right, and sometimes things don't go the way we expect, and we suffer. Daniel, yeah, Daniel did all the right things. Yeah, he prayed. And because he prayed to God, he was thrown into the lion's den. Yeah, he did all the right things, and yet he suffered. But Daniel didn't care. All Daniel wanted to do was be faithful and loyal and obedient to God. And that's what God wants us to do. Regardless of what we're facing, regardless of the circumstances, this is the way Jesus was to God the Father. Even though he was dying on the cross, he was beaten and bloodied and bruised. He didn't deserve any of it. That's what we deserve. And Jesus took our place. And you know, Paul talks about, yeah, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Why does he write this? Because he knows that God is working in him. He knows that God is working through him. God has a plan for his life, and he may not see the big picture, but he was going to continue to trust in God even though he was suffering. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to turn his back. He wanted to be faithful and true and loyal to God. And you know what Paul writes in Hebrews? Turn with me from Philippians to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It talks about Jesus. And listen to what he has to say about Jesus. It says here in verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Yeah, God wants us to learn to obey. And sometimes while we're suffering, that's the only thing we can do. We can continue to trust God and obey his word. Yeah, this is what it means to have fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Today, as we look at the emblems of Christ's broken body and shed blood, they remind us, yes, that Christ suffered. He suffered for us. And through those sufferings, yeah, he remained faithful and true to God, and he wants us to be faithful and true to him. And today in our communion service, we begin with the ordinance of humility, where we wash one another's feet. Jesus told his disciples, hey, I've washed your feet. You ought to do the same thing. All right? You ought to wash one another's feet. And that's why we continue to do this today. We wash one another's feet because Jesus says, not only does he want us to do it, he says, I have set an example for you. The example is the example of humility. And it's the example of faith that we are trusting that God, as we wash one another's feet, he's washing our hearts anew. He's making us clean on the inside. Yeah, and he gave this to his disciples as an example of faith in Jesus Christ and as obedience to him. He says, happy are ye if you do these things. Blessed are you if you do these things. Yeah, we all will be blessed as we follow the example of Jesus and obey his words. And afterwards, we will partake of the emblems of Christ's broken body and shed blood. Paul knew his by the sufferings of Christ, he was redeemed. By the sufferings of Christ, he was being prepared to do a greater work for God. He knew that through the sufferings of Christ that it would further the gospel and that he could learn obedience. And today, I don't know what you're experiencing, but I hope that in your fellowship with the sufferings of Christ, that you will allow him to continue to work in you to do a greater work for his kingdom. This week I read a story. It was about a lady who married the perfect man, and she kind of had the perfect life, and she was expecting a child. And in the fourth month of her pregnancy, she was in a car accident. She got hit from behind, and the airbag came out, and it struck her in the front. And as a result of the accident, she lost the baby. Some months later, it was near Thanksgiving time, she went into a flower shop, and she went in and she met the florist, and the florist said, do you want an arrangement for Thanksgiving? And the lady said, yeah, I'm looking for something. And she said, do you want a beautiful bouquet of flowers or do you want a Thanksgiving special? And The lady said, what do you mean? Well, the clerk said, I am convinced flowers tell stories. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. The shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. She disappeared into the back and came out with a large bouquet of roses. Only these roses had all the flowers cut off, only leaving the thorny stems. What kind of flower arrangement is that? Do you expect me to pay for something like that? Not unless you decide you want to, but first hear me out. Several years ago, I lost my husband. And for the first time in my life, I spent the holidays all alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and so great a debt that I couldn't even leave this place. I had to stay here. So what did you do? Well, the clerk said, I learned to be thankful for the thorns. I've always thanked God for good things in life and never asked him why those good things happened to me. But when the bad stuff hit, boy, did I ever ask. It took time for me to learn that the dark times are part of God's plan for my life. My experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so that we might know his love. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns, please. What do I owe you? Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. When Sandra got home, she read the card that the clerk put in. It was a prayer, and the words went like this. My God, I have never thanked you for my thorns. I thanked you for 1,000 times for my roses, but never for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me to value my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow shine much more brilliant. William Penn once wrote, no pain, no balm. No thorns, no throne. No gall, no glory. No cross, no crown. Today, may God bless us as we celebrate the communion service and remember the sufferings of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you that we can go through sufferings and never go through sufferings alone. That you have a plan, a purpose for each one of us and for each one of the things that we suffer. You know every tear, you know every heartache, and you are close to us, wanting to bring us healing and hope. And bless us now in this communion service. Draw us closer to you. May we be more open to your healing, saving power than ever before. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and for answering our prayers, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.